But Exodus 12:14. We've been approaching the Passover and the time of departure for Egypt, for Israel from Egypt, after being there 430 years. So this is a monumental event. The leaving of it is now going to be for the nation of Israel the first month of the year. That's the beginning of the beginning month of the year. Is going to be this because of the significance of it. So verse 14, Exodus 12. Now, this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. But on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very night I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month of the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. Whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families, and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshiped. Let's pray. Lord, the reason we know this and have familiarity with the events of this time is that it was remembered in your word, and your Holy Spirit has preserved it to us through Moses, and so we have this event that is integral, foundational to the nation of Israel, and then to also those who look for the Redeemer. Our remembrance of it and all things divine and core to our spiritual lives, we should remember. So we pray you would bless that remembrance to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If enough people have a problem of the same kind, then generally what happens is people try to fix it. So I'm hoping that cancer is constantly being worked on. And hopefully, if they find a cure, they will deliver it to us. That's our hope. Alzheimer's is a heartbreaking ailment. And I'm hoping that that is also being looked into on a continual basis, because a lot of people have that. Now, Alzheimer's, of course, is a loss of memory, a physical loss of memory, so that whatever causes us to have memory is somehow affected and disabled. And its worst outworking, it makes you lose all your memory. And for a while, it makes people lose some. And that is not, when we talk about remembering or memory, that's a physical ailment. You could never command an Alzheimer's patient to remember, because they would not be able to. And yet, in the Bible, we're told to remember. So we're not being told a physical thing. We're being told a spiritual thing. And memory, then, is something we are to retain. There are things that we are not to forget. You know, this do in remembrance of me. There are things we do to facilitate our memory, and with that, our lives. Because if you forget some things, your life is altered. And that's what memory is to keep us from. In a natural sense, we remember most when we are constantly engaged in something. When I was studying Greek for the first time, there were a lot of things to memorize. You know, another language. It wasn't a language I was going to speak, but a New Testament Greek. And there were endings to remember. There was vocabulary to remember. Even the alphabet you had to learn. And I found that if you did not stay with it all the time, it'd slip right out, and you wouldn't know anymore what that was. If you have a job and you leave that job, and then you had certain skills on that job that you were able to do without even thinking, because you were used to it, you had been doing it, and then say 10 years later, you probably couldn't do that job like you did before, because you're not engaged in it anymore. It's a past tense job. What did I used to do? How did I used to do that? And there's plenty of things I did in the past, work-wise, jobs. I wouldn't know. I'd have to retrain myself. The same with a route to somewhere. How do you get to a certain place? Even in Tryon, where I grew up, I know there's some roads I would have to jog my memory on, especially the road get up to Melrose Mountain. There were several ways you could go, and I'd have to kind of creep along and remember, because I haven't been on those roads in years. So what this section is about, as you saw as I read it, starts in verse 14. This day will be a memorial to you. It hasn't happened yet. The preparation for it is now occurring. We see it now after verse 28. We'll see the Passover meal and all of that, but this is all still preparing. This is going to be such a big deal forever that it has to be remembered. We have things we say, I'll never forget. A lot of people from September 11th, I'll never forget. That happened where I was when the buildings were hit, I'll never forget. You know, our nation forgot within a few months about that. It didn't take long. There was a great deal of unity then. And after that, it got back to, what we get back to. People forget. You would think that if this was about to happen, you would think that if If Israel had gone through 9 plagues unscathed, and that they had all hit the Egyptians and had spared Israel, and then this last plague where the firstborn are killed, and then to leave there and go out into the wilderness and go through the Red Sea and then be delivered as they were by the Lord, you would think that at least that generation and even a few after would be so in remembrance of that that they would need nothing else. And yet, they forgot too. It's the nature of humans to forget. I believe that's a product of the fall. It has nothing to do with physical memory. Our minds are not computer memories. Our minds are made of something else. Our memories are some other way. Electromagnetic pulses, and they're stored somehow, and over time, you'll forget. It's our nature, though, to forget, not just in a physical sense. That's understandable. But there are some things that you are to be so engaged in at all times that you never, ever, ever, ever forget. And yet, it is our nature to forget. The Galatians forgot that they had been saved by grace when they went back to the law. That is a purposeful forgetting. Has nothing whatsoever to do with physical memory. You tell a child as they're growing up to do something, and if they don't do it, what do they say? I forgot. Which is intended by them to mean that they're not responsible. I forgot. Try that at work. Why did you come to work this morning? I just forgot. And what happens after that? Well, you know, your buying power is curbed. You don't forget. Why did you say to a pilot, why didn't you land at the airport down there? Oh, I forgot. Where's your scalpel, surgeon? I forgot and left it in the patient. You've got to remember those things. And so, being a very forgetful people, we have to guard against that. We have a tendency to forget what we should remember and remember what we should forget. It's the twisted aspect of our fall. We worry. We elevate and are anxious over things that we have every reason to trust God for. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds. You see, that's a willful remembrance and a willful application of things we know. The nature of forgetfulness, then, is a spiritual problem. And it's a command. A command means that we're responsible for it. And that as responsible, we are to do it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Here it is. We are given commands. We are given a life. We are given doctrine. And with that doctrine, we're supposed to remember it. Verse 13, 1 Peter 1. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Or, as it says in the New King James, and I like this better actually, gird up the loins of your mind. It's like, equip your mind to keep these things ever in the mind. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And all the sufferings that the people were going through that Peter wrote to, they were to remember and have their minds geared on the things of God, and to maintain a good mind. They're to be sober in mind. Sober is a figure of speech. Sober, as far as liquor goes, is a physical thing. But to have a sober mind is to keep your mind clear and embracing things which are true and right and healthy to think about. If you, like a lot of people, if you think enough about things going badly, then it seems like they either go badly or the experience is that your emotions about it and your fears of it are the same as if they did go badly, even if they don't. Keep a clear mind. God does this, telling us to do this for our own good. If our mom says, remember to clean your room, oh, we take that bad. Remember to pay your taxes. I'm sorry to even say that word in church. But when the Lord says to remember, it is for our good, to keep us from forgetting what we should remember. If you're putting a roof on a house, there are some things you want to remember, like you're on a house. You want to back off the house. People back off houses. I can only dream of being that comfortable on the top of a house to where I would forget where I was. But some people do. You've got to remember. It's a command. It's a directive for our good. The better word probably is to neglect. When we forget, forgetting seems to be a physical thing. Neglect is a willful thing. Neglect is you fail to remember. You neglected to remember. And so we have things God gives us to help us remember. We have feasts here in this passage. Back in Exodus 12. You got a feast. The celebration, verse 14. A permanent ordinance. The feast, the food is laid out in verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. A holy assembly on the first day. A holy assembly on the last day. Verse 17, you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. Feast. For on this very day I brought you, your host, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. It's given a specific day. First month, 14th day of the month at evening. And then the next 7 days, from the 15th to the 15th of the month on, you know, through the 21st, you've got 7 days, a feast of unleavened bread. And that is a feast. It's recalling a redemptive event. When we have Jesus' words, this do in remembrance of me, about the Lord's Supper, it's a redemptive event. It's something connected to being redeemed. And Israel was being redeemed from Egypt. They're a picture of being held by, in the kingdom of darkness, by the devil, in sin. And although it was not a redemptive event personally to all Israel, it was a redemptive event to the nation. The nation was removed, rescued, redeemed from Egypt. So it has something to do with salvation of a nation. And then, of course, salvation of individuals. So since it was a redemptive event, it was to be remembered. They were to remember the Passover. And it was to be a joyous and celebratory event. Salvation is the most basic need we have. And to remember our salvation is the most basic memory we should maintain. If we forget that, it's like, you know, forgetting your head's on. It's just very, very foundational. And because it was a joyous and celebratory event, leaving Egypt, it was to be commemorated by a feast. We feast. What do we do at Thanksgiving? We have a feast. What do we do at Christmas? We have a feast. We have feast anytime we can have a feast and justify a feast. You get together, you have good food, feast. We get together back here when we have a feast here at church or a feast in our homes. Very, very, very unlikely you're going to see somebody look at all that food and just break down in tears. Unless they're thinking of something else. But the food itself, that's a feast. It is celebratory. It is to be joyous. This is a happy occasion. We're leaving Egypt. That's why later on, when they were crying, because they were not in Egypt anymore, it was such a sin. This is a celebration. We're to be a rejoicing people because we're saved. We're to celebrate because our sins have been forgiven. These are things that are happy times. It's a solemn and divine event commemorating the work of the Lord, and so it's bookended with special assemblies. There would be a special assembly the first day and one after the thing's over, the last day. You had on both sides of this a special holy assembly that would be to commemorate the Lord's grace and mercy in delivering them. It's a time of reflection and focus. Therefore, they got the week off. You saw in there, as I read, they're not to do any work. They're off. They're off for the week because this is a time not for them to work, not for them to be doing the same thing that they do. Verse 16 says, no work at all shall be done on those days except as food preparation. Because you're not going to put your mind back to one of the main distractions in our lives. Or what we do is what we do as for a living. And there are people, once they dig themselves into that, that's their life. Their life is their work. And they were to take the week off. And they weren't going to work as they normally did. It's a time of spiritual renewal and dedication, so they removed leaven. Leaven is a symbolic thing. Leaven is not a sin in itself. Saying leaven is a sin is in itself is like saying pepper is a sin or salt is a sin. Those aren't sins. Leaven became, in this case, unleavened bread. It meant that they were making their bread in haste, didn't even give it time to rise. It wasn't normal. It was eaten in haste. It was part of the remembrance aspect. And it was connected to putting off sin and rededicating yourself anew to the Lord, because that was like cleaning house, and it was unusual that you would just eat unleavened bread because it wouldn't be as desirable. But it was a remembrance so that week you remembered that you did not eat leaven on the night that you left Egypt, because you had to eat in haste and get out. And it was a constant thing. It made it a unique week. It wasn't like, we have a feast at Christmas and we don't remember Christ. We have a feast at Thanksgiving and you aren't thankful. This is something that would keep the people engaged in what the Lord has done. And it was a shadow of deliverance in Christ. So there were blood sacrifices, the lamb. And during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there were sacrifices. Because in the Old Covenant, there were sacrifices to commemorate or to look ahead to the final sacrifice of Christ. So that when Jesus came, it was, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There was a connection because they remembered and they applied the blood of the Lamb to a Redeemer, to Christ. And it's a generational memorial, as you see there. And this is going to be a common theme. Is that you tell your children this. Verse 25, "When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite, this ritual. And when your children say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?' you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes.'" And the people bowed low and worshiped. There's, where I grew up, there was a house here. And then there was the yard here that had just, it was a, like many houses, just had an open yard there. There used to be a house there. Not when we were around, but I was told that there used to be a house there, and now the house is over here. So the house wasn't over there anymore, but it was vacant. Suppose it was vacant, and that house wasn't there anymore. Because in the past, a spaceship landed right there in that spot. Hollowed the whole thing out in the square. And my parents knew that. And if it happened, I think that I should know about it as a child. Don't you? Wouldn't you want to know about that? That day, I forget, I think it was in July. This ship landed, some aliens got out and came into the house. And we talked a little bit and they got in and flew back up, but it kind of smashed the ground there. Oh, really? Well, that would be a very big event. Well, this is bigger than that. So the children were to remember it. The grace of reminder is what this is. It's not a pain. It's a blessing. It's not bad. It's good. Because we live in a world full of distraction. It doesn't take much to distract us. You know, we have phones now that distract us. Don't text and drive. You can't drink and drive. You can't text and drive. You can't play your guitar and drive. There's a bunch of things you can't do and drive because it distracts you. Most people in an accident, they say, "I got my kid was cutting up over there and I was tending to him and then I ran off the road." You're distracted. This is the grace of reminder to keep us from being distracted. Because once you're distracted, you get off target. Once you get off target, in a spiritual sense, you may stay off target. We're not yet perfected to give the proper attention to things. The Sabbath day for Israel, the Lord's day for us, is given to keep us in touch with the Lord all the time. So that business doesn't take over. Or recreation, or anything. That we're constantly, every week, we had a 1 in 7 day that we give to the Lord for worship and reflection or meditation and rest and things away from the normal grind. So that our minds are focused. Christians have the Lord's Supper, as I mentioned before, to remember the sacrifice of Christ. If we forget that, that's the whole gospel right there. The death of Jesus, paying for our sins. If you don't have that, you don't have the gospel. And we're to keep informed about history. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's not just Israel's history. Christians should know history of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Those things are for us. We're to remember those things. And it wasn't just Jewish children. We also, look at Deuteronomy 6. We're to have children remember things that are important. And they can. We talk about loss of memory, physical as a aging process. Kids have memory. If there's candy in the cabinet somewhere, they will remember where that is. That's not going to be something to forget. They will direct their minds to it. Verse 6, Deuteronomy 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. I mean, what other time is there than those? You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You're to remember those things. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns in which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. The children were to remember that. And yet, in the time of Josiah, when he went to repair the temple, they found the law in there. The temple had been boarded up. It was just a junk room, and they didn't even have the law and didn't know about it. They just completely forgot it. It's to be a daily, constant remembrance. All through the wilderness, these people did not remember. Even when they got out and they couldn't go into the promised land because they had forgotten all about Egypt already and did not think they could overcome the giants in the land of Canaan, so they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. They worshipped other gods. That's forgetting the Lord. The other gods didn't get them out of Egypt. The other gods were defeated in Egypt. And so what do? They turned to other gods. They forgot. They didn't keep the feast for long periods of time. When they came back to the Lord, they would keep the feast again. They did not personally participate in a relationship with God, so it wasn't in their heart. And they didn't teach their kids. So everything they were supposed to do at such a monumental event, such a memorial time, they let it pass. If we buried a chest of gold in the backyard, would we do anything to make sure we remembered that? A chest of gold, gold coins, in the back. I mean, pirates would do that, and they would make a map, mark a tree. Hopefully the tree wouldn't fall down. Make certain paces. Something, we got to remember this because it's valuable. So we're susceptible to forget. We're not supposed to. We have things to make us remember. We have the Word of God. We have the Lord's Day. We have the Lord's Supper. We have all the history in the Bible, the things that we study and read and remember. And it's a choice. Not to do it is neglect. And so before it even happens, they are set up so that they pay attention. Really what we're doing here is before it happens, the Lord is telling them, now something big's about to happen, make sure you pay attention or it'll just go right by. And unfortunately, it went right by. Any comments or thoughts you have?